Tomorrow we're up to two dots, actually, on Tzadikalov on Beis. But I wanted, we ended off still with the last Gemara, with one issue that we wanted to discuss. The last Gemara, before the two dots, spoke about the question that Antoninus posed to Rebbe, and it starts on three lines up on Tzadikalov on Beis. I'm going to just say it over outside as opposed to reading it over inside. That Antoninus said to Rebbe that I got a great idea. If the neshama could blame the avera on the guf, and the guf could blame an avera on the neshama, so then they could patter each other. They could do the avera, and when it comes time to get punished, the neshama will say it's the guf's fault, and the guf will say it's the neshama's fault. And the Gemara explained that Rebbe answered from Marshall with a chiger and a suma, someone who was lame and somebody who was blind, and they were put in charge of watching a field of figs, and the lame person told the blind person, I see beautiful figs but I can't get them, so why don't you put me on your shoulders and take me over there to eat them? And that's what happened. And when the balabas, the owner of the field, came back, he wanted to know why his figs were gone. He thought he hired two people that would definitely keep a good eye on the place. And they said, look, I can't walk. The chigah said, can't walk. It's not him. And the blind guy said, I didn't see no fig. And the balabas said, okay, in a chanami. But he went and he took the chigah on the shoulders. He put him on the shoulders of the blind man. And he said, okay, now I'll dine you up. And you're both guilty. He basically judged them in the method in which they did the geneva. So too, the neshama and the guf are put together, and they can't separate. They're there for each other's milus, and they're there for each other's chesroinus. The neshama wants to do a mitzvah. How does it work? It gets the guf to run to do the mitzvah. The neshama wants to do tzedakah. It gets the guf to put its hand in its pocket. The neshama wants children to learn Torah, so it gets the husband to go work, make parnasa, the father makes money, so he can come home and support his children and send them to yeshiva and pay chalimut. You know how many people wouldn't have to work if they didn't have to pay chalimut? The neshama wants us to, our children should learn the Torah Hashem. We got to learn it, some of us, and those of us who didn't get to learn it, zicha want our children to learn it. So it's all the neshama. The guf would like to take it easy and go relax in Ashdod somewhere. And the teretz is, the neshama goes, I can't get the credit all by itself because the guf is the one that does the whole mitzvah. So for the good, it works that the neshama and the guf are connected. So too, for the bad, if the neshama decides to do the avera, even though the guf does the avera, or vice versa, they don't have an excuse. They were there together for better or for worse.
Well, how are they judged together?
What?
What would the neshama want to do the avera?
What do you mean? That's exactly what the guf tiny. The guf says, wait, you think I'm the one who thought about doing this lashon hara? Once the neshama leaves me, the guf says, I'm buried, I'm in the earth, and I don't got any titles to do anything wrong. It's all the neshama that's driving this, not me. Without the neshama, I'm worth as nothing. That's his taina. And for a few seconds, superficially makes sense. If the neshama leaves, the body taka is buried. There's nothing the body could do.
When did this happen?
What?
When does this happen?
What do you mean?
That Hashem takes the neshama and puts it back on the goof and judges them.
Oh, so the way it works is like this, is that by Tchisa Mason, when the Klal Yisrael comes to, a person comes together again, he's donned up. He's donned up, and he ends up getting accordingly. If let's say he's supposed to, the guf did this, the neshama did that, whatever, however you work it out, however it's meted out the punishment, he'll end up that way. We don't know exactly how it works and when it works and why it works. Someone just told me today, this is a total tangent, but since you're asking, just to show you, we don't understand the ways of our Kaddish Baruch. We could think we understand. The bottom line is, we don't understand. Even what we think we understand, we don't understand. Someone said over today, someone told me over, he heard from Ramosha Meir Weiss, he's a Rav of a shul in Staten Island, New York. The Talmud of Ramosha Feinstein. And Rabbi Feinstein, and he goes to the Catskills, New York, upstate New York, in the summertime. And he speaks, like he does all year, in some of the local shuls. And he spoke and he said over, this is total nothing to do with Chelek, but everything to do with your question. So he said over that we know that there was recently a tragedy that took place in Brooklyn, New York, a couple weeks ago, where a child was, Chwanelatzan, killed for no reason of his own. And all the big philosophers are scratching their head, trying to figure out why Hashem did it. And that's the way it is. People like trying to make believe they can figure out why Hashem does what he does. So, the main goal, the MS, is to be mechazik the mishpacha, and at the same time have a limud to reinforce our emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in tefillah, in limud Torah, in mitzvahs, in all of the things that we do, so that it could be a schus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, okay, enough tzaras to Klai Yisrael. That's really the goal. It's a dual goal. And Rav Steinman last week wrote a letter, a little letter of nechama to the parents in Borough Park. And just now, a few days later, Rav Chaim Kanievsky also wrote a little letter to the parents. And one of the things, and he wrote that Kosh Baruch Hashem Menachem them, something along the lines of that it was for sure was a Gilgal, and Akash Baruch Hu should only give you a simchis, whatever, and you should meet him by Tchis Abesim, you should see your son again. Basically, that was the gist of the letter. Someone just told it to me now, actually while I was walking here, that's why it's on my mind, but it segued straight into your, it will answer your question, basically. But, so, let's understand for a second, what is the nechama? You tell a parent who lost a child, it was a gilgal. What kind of nechama did you give to the parent? And does it really help you understand how Hashem and why Hashem does what he does? So what does it do? So he said over an interesting thing. He said over, Mishpatecha Tohim Rabbah, because Baruch's Mishpat is very deep. We really don't get it. Rav Vozna from Bnei Brak had a sister who lived in New York, and not that long ago was Nifteris. And it seems like she said over a story, or Vozna said over the story. It could be Rav Vozna said over the story that years ago there was a lady who had trouble, had trouble with the concept of mikvah. Tarsus Baruch Hu was something that was very hard for her. And she finally worked up the courage one time to go, and it came out on the night of her husband's birthday, and all of the family members were coming for a birthday party. And she still didn't change her mind. She was very strong-willed, and after the party and everybody left, and they cleaned up, then she first headed over to the mikvah. When she got there, the mikvah lady was locking the door. So she started crying. You don't know how much it took to get me the courage to come. Let me go. And the lady said, I'm sorry. Rules are rules. It's late. She got down on her hands and knees and begged. But the lady wouldn't budge. She's been there all night. She has to get home to her family. And she said, no. Tomorrow is another night. Fast forward 19 years, says Rav Vozna. There was an 18-year-old child, who wasn't on the derech of Torah, broke into a house to steal different things. And in the process, an elderly lady in the apartment, an occupant, heard the noise, came out, caught him in the act. And in getting away, he swung his hand, hit her against the side of the head and snapped her neck, killed her. And upon investigation, it came out that this lady was the mikveh lady, and this child was the child born from that situation that night that didn't have a mikveh. Now, why Hashem and how Hashem orchestrated, we have no idea. But you go try to figure out a Kodesh Baruch Hu's cheshbon, you don't even know where to start. Forget about where to end. You can't get started. But what's in the Negeya is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I think, lost 10 children. And the concept of that they're gegulim, meaning that there's something that they have to be mashlim, they have to come back to this world to finish up something that they didn't finish the last time around. The Chidah says that Moshe Rabbeinu was a gegul of Noach. Noach didn't care enough about his generation, so therefore he had to come back as a gegul. Therefore, when Klal Yisrael was getting punished and they were going to get killed, what did Moshe say? Mecheni na mesifrecha. Mecheni is the lashon mei Noach. If you switch the words around, it says Noach. I'm from Noach. Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to be mesakin what wasn't mesukin in the neshama. There's a lot of years from Noach to Moshe Rabbeinu. So we're going to go in 2011, and we're going to take out our calculators and try to do the figuring out why Hashem does this and why Hashem didn't do that. So now juxtapose that back with his question, which is a great question. His question is, how does it happen? How does the goof get the punishment without the neshama, with the neshama, half the goof, three quarters of the goof fault, a quarter of the neshama fault? This is all part of Mishpatecha Tohim Rabbah. I would submit to you that we have as much chance of figuring out why Hashem does these things as we have to flying an airplane, unless you happen to be a pilot. We have more shakas to flying an airplane than this. We have no clue in why Hashem does what he does. And the Chayra, what we see l'maisa though, is that there is this concept that the person has to make a cheshbon himself. He has to realize something, that you know something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this, and not somebody else. The goof is trying to shift the blame. The Hashem is shifting the blame. So, I told you, listen, I want to share with you a little bit from Shmuz, that Reb Shmuel Berenbaum, Reb Shashiva from the Meir Zichron of Racham, in Brooklyn, New York, what he said. It's something that I wasn't aimed on it, and I'll share it with you. But it sends a very strong message to show you how exactly the opposite. Antoninus wants to show you, don't take any blame, don't be responsible, it's the other guy's fault. And let's see how the Chumash shows us we should live. It says that Yosef HaTzadik told his brothers that V'ato al ti'otzu v'alyicha be'enechem don't be down and worried that you're the ones who sold me and therefore I'm going to be upset at you and take revenge against you. No. Hashem sent me here for food. And then the Pasuk after it says again, so Shmuel asks a couple of questions that will help us see the contrast between the way the Gemara sets up what people do and how we really should act. It's a tremendous limud before we go right to the next Gemara. And he says that the truth of the matter is, what was Yosef HaTzadik telling his brothers? Va'ata al ti'otzu. Va'ata sounds like it's connecting to something he said before. What did he say before? Ani Yosef Arid Avichai. So what was he trying to tell them? Even though Ani Yosef Arid Avichai, so Ava begin Vata al ti'otzu. It should just say al ti'otzu. Va'ata. He's saying something extra, says Shmuel Berenbaum. He says another thing, another bomb question, similar to what he was saying, but a little different take. He says, what was Jesus telling him? Don't feel bad, Hashem wanted me here to get food for you. But time out a second. What does that have to do with that veira that the Shvatim did? What do you mean, don't feel? Hashem, Yosef HaTzadik is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Did the Shvatim do a mechira that was like it? Then yeah. Are they deserving of an oinish? Yes. That's what we learned out from this case, that they were so embarrassed they couldn't talk when Yosef said, Ani Yosef. According to one Medrash, they dropped dead. They had to be revived. So what is Yosef doing? I don't feel bad. I had to be here anyway. So what? They're still going to roast and get him. Or whatever punishment they're going to get. Whatever that punishment is. So what was Yosef accomplishing? That's his kasha. So he says over, and I alluded to this last time, that you find an interesting thing by David HaMelech as well. David HaMelech, it says that he said Mizmor beBarchem and Avshalom Benoy. He made a Mizmor to David just because he ran away from Avshalom. What was Avshalom? Avshalom was his son who tried killing him. He was married by Malchus. And yet he made a Gvaldik a Simcha. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that Hinnini make him Alecha Roh Mivesecha, that there's going to be some bad coming out of your household as a punishment for the Averis that David did. And he was down. He was Hoyotze. Why? Because he said maybe an Eved or Imamza would come out. He didn't know what Hashem was referring to when he said that there was going to be something bad coming from his legacy, from his generations. And when he saw that it was just Avshalom trying to kill him, said he was okay with that. You know why? Because it wasn't Avshalom doing anything wrong as far as he was concerned. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant. That means he wasn't, not only wasn't he upset at Avshalom, he looked at Avshalom as being in a get of earnest. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to find somebody to punish me. So he found Avshalom. Now Avshalom has to look at it like, hey, why did it come through me? So mitzad Avshalom, it's going to be a tiny copy Shmaya. But as far as David HaMelech is concerned, he had no tiny than Avshalom at all. HaKadosh Baruch Hu evens out the score. And we know this because there's the famous case with two people. And we all know this, one guy who killed Shoigeg, one guy who killed the Mazit, they both got away with murder. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ends up sending one up a ladder, one walking underneath, and this guy gets killed on the way down. The other guy has to run to Golis because there was an accident. And you see that the one who's Mechayiv Misa got killed, the one who's Mechayiv Golis ended up going to Golis. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't miss a beat. He knows what's when, and everything is Gechayishman. We don't understand it. We don't understand it. But that's what Yosef HaTzadik was doing as well. It wasn't shot that the Shvatim don't have what to worry about. Between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have a lot to worry about. But as far as Yosef was concerned, I don't have any tainus in me. I have nothing with you. Hashem wanted me here for whatever Averis I did. I had to be here to serve you, to get food for you, whatever the cheshbon was. Then that's why I'm here. And that's why the pasuk is repeated twice. Where it says, Hashem. But he just said that a pasuk before. Why do you repeat yourself? To tell the Shvatim you didn't do anything, as far as I'm concerned. So this is the exact opposite. Instead of trying to find the blame so that you shouldn't be held responsible, we see from Yosef and David the way we're supposed to be knowing is, hey, you know something? If it's coming, then I deserved it. The question is just why? And then when it comes, make a mizmah of David. Oh, Baruch Hashem, this is all I got because of my own. And give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's so much better to have Avos Hashem because of Avot HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Yiras Hashem because of the awesome recognition of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, than waiting for Chas Hashem to be a Tzara, and that pushes us and forces us into having Yira and Avot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These leaders, Yosef HaTzadik, David HaMelech, they live their lives taking responsibility and not shirking the responsibility. And when it came their way, whatever the Einish was, it wasn't, I'm upset at you. If you did something wrong, that's between you and Hashem, go take it up with him. But I have no tightness. It was coming to me. I was supposed to get this Einish for whatever cheshbon it is, and that's the mitzvah. So just to see the two extremes of how the Gemara shows us that Tinnitus was trying to work with, why don't you do that variant and try to get away with it? Which is the Teva. We all try to do things like that. And or the other way, to take the responsibility. It's the Metzius like that. I tell you, I was in a car once with a chash of a gadol, and I was speeding. Got pulled over, and automatically, I mean, you take a poll. If you keep quiet. But if the cop says, you know why I pulled you over? Everybody says no. And then when he says, well, you were speeding, everybody says, what? I was sure I wasn't speeding. Whether the guy knows he was speeding or not, or whether he doesn't even know. But at the end of the day, sir, I was about to open my big mouth, and the gadol who was sitting next to me leaned over and says, officer, you're 100% correct. Absolutely. It was totally inadvertent. Or something like that. So he takes my paper, comes back, and says, okay, just go slower from now. Now, if I would have gave my answer, I have no question, I would have gotten a fat ticket. But by not shirking the responsibility, he was so full of MS, he didn't understand what could be a half minute to say anything but what he said. Because what do you mean? It's Pashut. One time I taka did it, I was very matzliach. I think I was matzliach. One time I had gotten a new car and I went out in the country 3-4 years ago with my wife for a ride, and we bought ice cream and we were driving down the 52 in the country over there. And I taka didn't notice that I was going faster than I should have been. I was talking to my wife. I was focused on the conversation and we were schmoozing. And I didn't even know that the cop was trying to pull me over because I wasn't b'chal looking in my rearview mirror until like a few hundred feet, another quarter mile, until he got close enough where I just glanced at the rearview mirror for a second. I realized it, and I know where they sit. I realized, wow, he must have been following me for a while. I didn't even notice. He was really ticked at me. I had no question about it. But Lamaisa, I don't know what got over me, but for a change, I actually said the truth for a change. When he asked me, you know, he came over and he said, you know, you were speeding. So I said, you should realize, I realize now I probably was. He says, what do you mean, you didn't realize you were speeding? I said, the truth is I was in conversation with my wife and I was focused on that and I wasn't concentrating. I have no idea. It's very possible I was speeding. So he came back and he gave me a ticket, but he said, I'm not going to give you a fine. Go into the judge in Ellenville and tell him your excuse. Or write in your excuse, whatever it is. So I wrote the letter. I didn't tell it to him. I wrote the letter, I brought it in. And I gave it to the guy, and he says, okay, you'll get a response in a couple weeks. And he charged me the money, but he didn't give me the points. Now, you know, I don't know, maybe I wouldn't have gotten the points anyway, I don't know. But something came over to me, be truthful, that night. I wasn't sure what it was. The ice cream, the new car, I wasn't sure what it was. But the Maisa, if you try not to shirk, not always do you pay a price for it. Sometimes you don't. And there's no question that in Olam HaEmes, you'll be better off. That's for sure. So, that's my own personal anecdote, but Maisa, that's what I think we could take a little bit from this Gemara, just to see the differences in the way Antonina is viewed trying to get away with murder versus, you know, stepping up and saying, you know, I must have deserved this or something.
Before I can ask a question about this mushroom.
Go right ahead. Once you're on a tangent is okay.
What does it say about the Baal Bayit, the fig vineyard, that he leaves a lame person and a blind person to watch it?
Well, I'll tell you off the top of my head what I thought when I did the Gemara. Okay? Well, I thought there is a more of a technical answer, but what I thought off the top of my head was that his chashash was more In other words, he was more afraid of the person who he hired who was going to take advantage of it than somebody else. Because when you think about it for a second, somebody looking at this situation sees two people. The person who's a chigur looks like a chigur. But the person who's blind looks like any other person. So as far as, this is a Baal Bat Shetaretz, but as far as I'm concerned, I come, I want to be a ganav. Very hungry, I want to steal a fig. You're right, the chigur is not going to chase me down. But you know something? Even though the sumo looks like he's sleeping, in a second, the chigur is going to wake him up, and he might be a fast runner and catch up to me. You don't know. So it looks like this field is covered. And at the same time, he accomplishes something great, that he doesn't have to feed the shomer, because they're not going to be able to go eat the food either. You hire a regular guy, yeah, there's no problem, no one else is breaking in there, but this 450-pound strapping fella is going to be sitting there eating figs the entire time he's watching. So he was able to kill two birds with one stone. He had a shmira, and at the same time, they weren't going to eat either. So when he came back and he saw that they ate, that someone ate, he was, how did he pull that off? So he made a cheshbon. Someone else, Zichah, didn't come, because they would have been afraid. Teretz says they got together and figured it out. Okay, I'll get them together to punish them. Now, I don't know if what I'm telling you is true. I'm just telling you that that's what I thought. But it doesn't make it true.
Somehow the two is better than one.
Look, I learned with a Chavrusa for years who was blind. Blind, he had, what's it called? RP, retina pigmentosis, where the retina slowly cringes up and dies. And he started out, he was able to read so hard. Then he got harder, his tunnel vision, until he was seeing one word at a time. And then over 4 or 5 year period, he became totally blind, couldn't see anything. A Maisa, he looked like he was sitting and learning in Beis Medrash. He didn't look any different than anybody else. He was sitting in there like this, just he was listening. Eventually he stopped opening the Gemara, he just sat listening outside. But still wasn't sure that he was blind, because it could be he just didn't know how to read. But he looked like any other yeshiva guy. When he walked, you knew that he was blind, because he had this 4'3" dog, who was very kind until he got a little close with comfort. He knew who he was protecting. You know, so like, but Lamaisa, he looked like the regular. So it's very possible. Such a concept, you know what I'm saying? See, my show doesn't say, but in my mind, it could work to accomplish everything. It really could work to accomplish everything. But,
Hashem could have made a different entity, and some group, one entity, why two entities?
These are big conversations. Of how to neshama, how to go. If you really think about it, if you learn the Chavos Al Vavos, which I never was able to do really well, we don't even begin to understand that Miller spent his lifetime screaming from the pulpit, these inyanim. And we don't really. The Yitzhahara makes us so busy that we don't tune in. We just don't tune in. We're so not, you know. Everything, this past Shabbos, okay? This past Shabbos, it was 105 degrees with humidity in New York, and Thursday and Shabbos, hot like they never had in 100 years. And electricity companies had to cut electricity. Where were you in Chutzlaret this past weekend?
New York.
What?
I was in Auburn, Alabama.
Okay, fine.
A week before that, I was in China.
Okay, fine. So you weren't in New York. But Lamaisa, the electric companies had brownouts and blackouts. Where a brownout is that some of the electric goes off, and the blackouts is no light. And it happened Friday night in South Fallsburg, New York, upstate New York, and a few other places. Lights kept going out, and people ate in the dark with the candles, the licht, no air conditioning. Okay? So he said like this. Think about it for a second. We walk in the door here. let's try to play out the scene. If let's say there was no air conditioning in this room, and we were sitting here trying to learn, and it was 105 degrees and humid, or 100 degrees because now it's nighttime, it wouldn't be shaykh.
It wouldn't be like Flatbush.
It wouldn't be shaykh, okay? Yet, how many times do we stop and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there's air conditioning? Probably zero. Now imagine what our lives would be if we didn't have air conditioning, befrat in Beit Shemesh, which is unusually hot, but although not humid, I will tell you it's much more comfortable in Borough Park, New York, than it is in Beit Shemesh on any given day in the summertime. Because even when it's 85 and 90, 85 and over here it's 95, it feels like 120 because it's so humid you can't breathe. So I can tell you honestly that it's a guzma when people say, oh, you could drop dead over here. Compared to where it's hot and humid, it's a pleasure. Just go stand under a tree and it's a pleasure. So I know people who live here think differently, but the Maisa, how many times have we stopped to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for air conditioning? Now it's a joke because we should be thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our eyes, for our ears, for our nose. Okay? But unfortunately, those are things that we've started, unfortunately, to take for granted. And it's only when a person has to go to the doctor because he has an eye infection that he realizes, oh, you know something, Baruch Hashem for eyes. But air conditioning is something that we're able to thank because we had to get to there. By the time I walk from my house to Kolo in the morning, I need a shower. So I walk in and the air conditioner is on. It's so easy to say Baruch Hashem for the air conditioning. It would be even nicer if I had a car to the particular shul and put some money in the pushka to cover it. That would be putting my money where my mouth is, instead of being just a cheap guy. But Lamaisa, at least when you walk in, it hits you in the face and all over. Wow, thank you. But our eyes, the only way it would work is if we went with our eyes closed and tried to get, you, wherever you live, you know where you live, you know where the shul is, you've come here a million times, try to walk here with your eyes closed. Then get here, probably all black and blue from all the falls and bangs, and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you walk in, you open your eyes, hey, oh, mamas, I can see. Now, we don't do that. We don't do that. So therefore, we can't know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a goof with a neshama, each to enhance the other in getting more cognizant of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzaoru v'richoshach. When was the last time you walked out of your house in the morning and you thanked the Kodesh Baruch Hu for light? Probably never. I don't mean you, I mean me. Us. Never. We don't do it. We just don't do it. We don't talk enough about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's not in our lives enough. We just don't do it. Until we hear a very, very miracle. We hear a miracle. Oh, then, oh, wow, look what Hashem can do. It's no less or more of a miracle than everything else that's going on every single day. But we're not tuned in. Because the Yetzer made it that we're so busy being busy that we're too busy to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's right. And we're very into giving ourselves credit for the things that we're good at. We're very easily able to give blame to the other people for all the things that are getting messed up. It's the way it works. And therefore, at the end of the day, you know, that we're missing out so many opportunities. So many opportunities. So, Maisa, this is the Nakuda. We're going to see the next Gemara. I see we're not going to get to it now. With how HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a child, a baby. When is the Neshama put in? When is the Yitzhara put in? That's the next few cases we'll talk about next week. But the Maisa, it shows us a certain dogma. If we could view our gedolim, look at our gedolim, see how they act, see how they live. If we do that, we tune into that and realize that these are regular human, two hands, two feet, regular people. They also shower for Shabbos. They also got to eat 2-3 meals a day. And we realize that these are people that are living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Esel Kim Salach Noach, because you just watch what they do and how they live and how they teaches us how to prioritize it. Teach us how to deal with our kids. I was walking with my kids home from cheder this morning, and it's hot this afternoon. And it's hot, and it's 1 o'clock, 1:15, and it just it's a hard walk. They're tired. It's not a geschmack walk. It really isn't. And then you see someone come by in a wheelchair, and it takes around a millisecond for you to realize, I'm a moron, am I? I'm complaining that I got to walk. You know what that person who just wheeled by me would do to be able to be walking in this heat? And you start laughing at yourself. You know, you really do. I mean, and what's the answer? The answer is that we're not tuned in. Rav Miller, Chayil Avracha, used to never miss an opportunity. Everything we daven, we bench. Hazon es ha'olam kulay. Hazon es ha'olam kulay. That's from the cockroach on the floor to the king sitting on his palace. Hazon es ha'olam kulay. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem does it all. But how does he do it? Hazon es ha'olam kulay v'tuvay. B'chein. B'chesed. We don't even know what these words mean, and we look in the art school and we read it. That means that guy who just did an avera because he had a yetzahara, who probably should have gotten Hashem pretty upset at him, just sat down and had a great meal. Hazon is ha'olam kulay b'turay b'chein b'chesed racham t'hintu. That's amazing. Imagine a guy comes over to you. And you, he, can I borrow $5? Oh yeah, no problem. You give him five shekels, whatever it is. And then he goes and he takes a look at it and he smacks you across the face. So let's say you're an unusually nice guy, so you don't hit him back. Well, he's just stronger than you. You don't hit him back, okay? But then 2 seconds later, he turns to you and says, "Okay, can I borrow $5 again?" You're not going to lend him the $5. Let's say for some reason you just decide, I have to lend him. So you lend him another $5, and then he goes and he smacks you across the face again. And let's say you could control yourself and you don't hit him back, I don't know how, but you do. And then he gives you another $5, you're going to lend him again? Atkan, how many? Let's say you do it again. How about 20 times? That's what we do. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something, then we do an aver, smack him across the face. Right? And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu just doesn't work like that with us. Because b'chein b'chesed v'racham. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing to stay tuned in. It's very hard. It's very refreshing if you're able to pull it off. You know, for the few minutes a day, if you could do like a lesson or millions to tell everybody, practice. Hold your breath for 30 seconds and then take a deep breath and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for your breath. Just, you have to be careful because you know what happened a few months ago with the three kids that were having the thing and one kid held it too long. It's true story. Not yet.
Thank you.
Yeah, you saw the content.